Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Hello, and welcome back to the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show. We are going to be talking about power meter today on the bike. But first, I wanted to just share with our listeners that we had some feedback or comments from one of you guys who, in response to listening to the anticipating your landing with your form, we've talked about that with your running form, and, you know, firing up those muscles just a split second before the landing. And this particular runner said she's been working on it. She called it preloading, but anticipating the landing, she's been working on that. And she said, I'm definitely scraping my foot less and no injuries. So yay.
It's great.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So I thought that was fun to hear. Yes. I love to hear results, yeah. Success results, but also just a reminder to everybody that we love to hear your comments in one way or another, whether you email us or leave it in the comments box on the podcast, which is great if you leave it there, more people will see it. But yeah, just, and also suggestions for topics of that you want to hear on episodes. I've been getting some of that in the clinic, people asking for certain things. So yeah, we love it. All right, so Liz, what about this power meter?
Okay, so, you know, I mean, power meters have been around for a while, so this is certainly nothing new, but I'm always sort of, so power meters go on the bike and they're something that help us manage our effort on the bike. And even though they've been around for a long time and a lot of people have them, I am continually fairly shocked by how people don't really know how to use them. I see a lot of people throw around like their numbers on the power meter and they ride courses like they're super strong and all of this stuff. Like, there's a lot of ego that I sense around the power meter. But when it comes down to it, there's a lot of people who don't really understand how to use it right. So I'm just going to kind of go through like some basics of what it is. And, you know, I mean, the first question really is, should you get a power meter? And I think that really depends. I will say that a power meter drastically changed how I ride my bike. It is an absolutely amazing tool. It's probably the most effective tool for improvement on the bike that I have come across in the whole time I've been training or coaching. But that doesn't actually mean that it's for everybody, because it depends on if you really want to learn how to use it. And there is a learning curve with it. And there's kind of a series of learning curves. So like, you learn how to use it well in stages, and you know, you can use it for different things. Like some people, maybe they, like if you're not really interested in learning how to use it, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to be able to do fine. People train for years without the power meter. Like, you don't get it because it sounds cool, because they become more affordable, but they are an investment financially, but they are also an investment in terms of like your effort and the learning curve. And if you're not really up for it and you just want to go ride for fun and you don't really prioritize like improving, then I would not put the time in. And there's nothing wrong with being like, I want to just go ride for fun, or like, I have a good time working hard on my bike and I don't really feel like I need it. Like, do that. Don't go spend the
like
money and
my
the time.
Rate of perceived exertion or whatever. I'd like to work on my cadence, my heart rate. Before you get any further, let's explain exactly what is the power meter telling us. I mean, obviously the word power in there is there, but what are the units? What are you looking at?
So that's what we're going to go to. Oh. That's next. Well, and so a power meter is a device you put on your bike, and some of them are actually like physically in the pedals. Some of them are actually in the crank arm, so they can go different places on the bike. But so I'm going to explain this kind of like using weight training as an analogy. Oh. So when you go into the gym and say you're doing like squats or something, and maybe you squat with 50 pounds. Okay. So with that, You know, we all sort of have a frame of reference for what pounds means. And so when you say I'm squatting with 50 pounds, you have some idea, give or take, of what that number means. And you know that the unit of measurement is pounds, right? And that's telling you how much, how hard your legs can work, right? I can squat 50 pounds. Okay, that gives you some idea of what you're working with. With a power meter, they also use numbers. So it's like I might do 100 watts, and watts is the unit of measurement with that. And so if I'm on my bike, on my little computer screen, it will show me that my legs are pushing 100 watts. Okay, so that's telling you how hard my legs are working. And right now, or when you get a power meter, the watts don't mean anything. There's no frame of reference. But just like with, you know, with strength training, and you're like, okay, 50 watts, and I know about what that feels like. Or maybe when you go out running and you're like, I know what a 10-minute pace feels like for me. And that's because you've learned to associate a feeling with a number, right? And that same thing happens on the bike. So then right now I say 100 watts and like, you don't know what a watt is, and you sure as shit don't know what 100 watts feels like, right? Yeah. I mean, but after you've done it for a long time, you start to associate a feeling with a number, right? So that same process happens on the bike. So as I'm going through this, like, just even if you don't understand really what that 100 watts means, like, it's the same concept as it might be with strength training or with running. You know, there are two reasons you might consider getting a power meter, and they are different. One is you can use a power meter for training just to get stronger, right? You can use that number to help guide your training so that you can create more effective sets. Like my legs can hit 100 watts for 10 minutes in February. Can I hold 110 watts by April for that same amount of time, right? So it's going to help you get stronger. There is a difference between using it to get stronger in your training and using it how to effectively, like, ride outside and race with it. And those things, I think, get lumped into the same conversation. And a lot of times athletes will come in and they may figure out how to use it to set up effective sets and ride on their bike to get stronger. But then it is like, there's a big learning curve to learning to ride outside with it and learning how to race with it. And then people check out. And that is fine if you know that that's what you want to do. I want to use it to get stronger. I'm not going to
use it. Yeah, I'm going to use it on my trainer indoors, just build up my strength, but then not care about it or look at it on the road or in a race.
Right. And if you know that that's your goal, that's fine. But there is so much to be gained from learning how to use it outside and learning how to race with it effectively. It is a complete game changer. And if your intention going in is to use the power meter for that reason, and you don't really, you have to put in the work to get there. And you want to know that ahead of time.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was training for my first half with you, I didn't have the power meter during that. And we've talked about this in past episodes too. My experience was, you told me on the bike, I want you to keep your heart rate at this number. Yep. And it was 150. And that was based on the data that you had collected over my training, the RP, all the other things. So it wasn't just like some random heart rate number. But it was like, Amy, I want you to maintain this. I don't want you to go above this. You're going to feel like you can or you're capable of it, but I don't want you to do that. That was the number that we used. If I'd had the power meter, would there have been a power to keep myself in range?
There would have been. And when you bring in the heart rate, I'm going to try not to go down a wormhole here. And okay, maybe we circle back to that, because the heart rate, that is
good. Still good information, still part of the puzzle.
It is definitely part of the puzzle, but it is another step up, and powering the heart rate with the power meter is where you get like kind of next level data. Like, you really want those two things together.
Yeah.
When I'm working with an athlete who has a power meter, I look at the heart rate in a very specific way for specific information about what we're doing with the power. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm going to just maybe circle back around and maybe we do another podcast on that. But, and part of that is the heart rate is, you know, you see this in running too. The heart rate has a lag. The heart rate isn't great for like short, fast interval training, right? Mm-hmm. Because the heart rate is great for longer sustained efforts.
Yes.
And one of the things about a power meter is that you are getting instant feedback about what's happening on the ground underneath you. And so your heart rate is never going to respond that fast. And so what happens is that when you're out and you're riding the power meter, like, you hit a hill, and all of a sudden what the power meter is going to show you is that you are accidentally pushing so hard on those pedals and you didn't realize it, right? And your heart rate's not going to tell you that. It would be like similar to me being like, I'm going to do 10 reps of 50 pounds of squats in the weight room, but on rep number 6, I'm going to do 250 for that one rep, mm-hmm. right? So that's what's happening with our legs outside when we ride our bike. There's so many nuances in the road that you cannot feel on the bike. And what happens is that we are pushing too hard on those pedals and we do what is called spiking our power, which would be like similar to if you're going to run a marathon and you want to hold a 10-minute pace through your marathon, but every half mile you do, 30 seconds at a 6:30 pace and you do that over 26 miles, that accumulates on those legs and it's going to crush your marathon. And that's what's happening on the bike. We want to go ride, say, for a 70.3 or like 3 to 6 hours, but because you can't feel on the bike the nuanced changes in the road, you are accidentally doing like small surges all the way through your ride. And the power meter is one of the best uses for the power meter is eliminating those spikes in your effort so that you don't crush your legs for the run.
Okay. And then, so it's not just the terrain, like the hills, it's also the wind, isn't it?
It is also, it's the wind and the terrain mostly. And you know, there's that conversation again, we're not going to go down the wormhole here, but it also would, if you factor in the heart rate, like then you can learn how to deal with the heat more effectively. Like it's just giving you a lot more information about what your legs can handle. And the thing is that like, if I was in the weight room and I was squatting 50 pounds and I was standing on a hill or I was had, you know, I was outside and I was squatting in the wind, that doesn't change how strong my legs are.
Right.
Right. I can still squat 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. And on the bike, it doesn't matter. Like if you're going uphill or you're on the wind, it doesn't change the strength in your legs. You still want a measurement for how hard your legs are working. Okay. And that's the number that the power meter is giving you.
Okay.
So let's see. So basically it's helping us know how hard our legs can push for a given amount of time. Okay. Right. So let's go back to the running example. If you can run a 8-minute mile on the track for a mile, you're not going to go out and run a marathon at an 8-minute pace, right? It's going to help you establish sets that will then help you understand how you're paced for a marathon. Same thing with a power meter. I can hold 100 watts for 30 minutes. Well, that's fine. What can I hold for 6 hours? And so you take a percentage of that number and it helps you understand how you can hold that effort for much longer amounts of time.
Yeah, so it gives you an appropriate expectation for what you're going to be doing, but also then how to try to improve that.
How to try to improve your training. Well, it's not even the expectation, it's giving you that number.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like if you know you for a marathon you can hold a 10-minute pace for 26 miles, that's your number, right? And so that's the same on the bike.
Right. So like your predicted outcome, but yeah. Then it's also the data information. It's like the beginning of your training cycle, you might be able to bring that down a little bit knowing what your prediction is, now working on it and getting stronger, mm-hmm. you could improve that over time. And it might not be in one season, but it might be over several seasons.
Correct. Okay. Right. So you use that number to guide your training.
Yeah.
And so this kind of, so going back to what I said at the beginning about there's a couple different ways to use a power meter. And one of those is simply just to design sets where you get stronger.
Yeah.
Right. And that's great. Where people... And most of the time people get that and we can work through it and they understand that on their bike, especially when you're inside on the bike and you're not having to deal with like a lot of terrain changes, right? So you're just simply doing the numbers to get stronger. Once you get outside, it's a much different ballgame. And there's outside just like riding for training and then there's outside in a race. And though you ride those differently with a power meter, right? I'm just going to talk today about once you get outside and you're on the road, what you have to learn is how to do what's called holding your power. So you want to hold your power steady when you get outside. So unlike with running where, when you run and you come up on like even a pretty small incline, you feel it right away. Like yes. You can, right? That is not the case on the bike. And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so I did not understand until I started riding with a power meter how nuanced the roads are on the bike and how you have absolutely no idea. And so they are changing like, it could be every second, really. It is just up and down, very little nuances. And without knowing, one, you don't feel the nuances in the road. And two, you don't know that your legs are responding. So it is like all of a sudden, instead of me holding a steady 100 watts, I might be at 100 watts, and then I might be at 250 watts, and then I might be at 60, and then I'm at 300, and then I'm at 50. And that, again, if I was in the weight room doing squats, that might be like, all of a sudden I'm squatting with 10 pounds, and then I'm squatting with 300, and then I'm squatting with 30, and then, yeah. right? And so it's all of this up and down, up and down, up and down. And when you are doing that, without going into the science of it, it's tapping into very different systems in your body, and it's crushing your legs. So when
especially for our long whole, like our long distance that yes. we're trying to achieve.
Well, yeah. especially if you're yeah. running off the bike, right?
Oh yeah.
And if you try, I mean, you know, if you're somebody who does the shorter stuff, then you would train that for the bike so that your yes. systems are ready for that. So yes. I'm primarily talking here about some of the longer, more steady yeah. efforts, right? And so when you get outside, the learning curve comes with learning how to hold that steady power. And, you know, just trying to briefly explain what that looks like, you use your, you know, there's, so if you just go outside and you start riding, riding along, and you have your power number reading on your bike computer, right?
Yeah.
It would be just like if you were going out to run and you were looking at your pace on your watch, right? Only now you've got watts. It's not okay. your pace. There is only one time I ever look at pace on the bike, and that crushes the soul of the people that I coach.
Is that the time trial or something?
No.
What is it?
It is absolutely not. It is, I'm not even going to tell. You have to listen to the next podcast. Ooh, we've got a cliffhanger. One time you can look at speed. Otherwise, and that is my nightmare conversation with athletes. They absolutely hate it. But it has, your speed has nothing to do with the watts that your legs can put yeah. out, right? Yeah. And so when you're going outside and you want to hold like 100 watts.
Okay.
Right? You have your lap button on your computer, and you might lap it every, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. And your goal is to just hold 100 watts. It sounds so simple. But when that road is changing and your numbers are bouncing all over the place, you have to learn how to constantly adjust your cadence and your gears to hold that watts, because you are adjusting for that pavement in real time all the time. So you may be shifting, I mean, you may shift, I don't know, 30 times a minute. Like, it's all the time. And so it requires an enormous amount of focus. And it's also really frustrating at the start, because you don't understand how you can possibly hold a steady power when those numbers are jumping literally every second, right? And so that's where you have to learn, like, you have to set up certain windows on your watch so that you are getting data that's a little bit more smoothed out. So that is like, you know, I tell people, like, we're all familiar with averages, right? So like if you put 100 numbers together and you take the average of that, of 100 different numbers, like it gives you one number to look at that gives you a sense of the average, right?
Yeah.
I'm not explaining this super well, but that's what, if you look at, you can set up your watch so that you're getting an average power reading,
mm-hmm.
right? And just briefly, like if you're wanting to do this out there, I recommend, look, you need an instant power window, you need a 30 second power window, and you need a lap power window, average lap power window on your watch, right? So it's already like people are like, oh, these that's windows.
That's a lot of numbers.
Well, and those are three numbers that are going to be doing different things, right?
Yeah.
Because you are learning, you're out on the road, and like your power is jumping all the time in that instant window. But you can use the average windows to help you start to see like where you're getting a steady average, and you're going and you're learning how to adjust your cadence and your gears all the time so that you are holding a steady average. And that takes, once you do it, it like becomes second nature, mm-hmm. but it's really frustrating. And then you have to, like, you know, brain fatigue is real and it affects your races. So if you're somebody who wants to race with a power meter and you have a 3 to 6 hour ride, you are out there, you have to manage that. Like, I mean, it's all the time. You're never taking your eyes really off that power meter. And so you have to train like the endurance of your brain to be able to do that. And remember, for triathlon, you are also like, you have to eat and drink every 10 minutes. You have to manage your carbs and get a certain number in. You have to know where you are on the bike course, like how much you're eating in the first hour versus the, you know, fifth hour, and managing the elements and the people around you. And so it's a whole lot, right? And it is, in my opinion, well worth the
time and effort. Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, I'm thinking like, okay, what if Liz gave this to me to do? I'm envisioning myself starting out at the downtown airport. The downtown airport has a really windy tunnel. It also has some hills and it also has some flats. And I feel like because it's a loop that you can, I can't remember if it's a 3 mile loop. Mm-hmm. The 3 mile loop is that you could just be practicing it over and over again on that same terrain and really getting felt, and also not having to battle too much scary traffic at the exactly. same time that you're really learning that. Like, I feel like I would go there.
Yeah. And so that's when I talked to, at the beginning about like sort of the steps, and like you learn it step by step and you do walk through. And so we will start with somebody on their trainer inside. Mm-hmm. So you're just learning what it all looks like without having to worry about anything else around you, right? And we get through that so that you've kind of mastered what are my numbers? What do my numbers look like? How do I use the lap button? Where is that? And like, you know, and now that we've gotten smart trainers that actually adjust the terrain for you, we can even learn how to start to ride like on what would be like riding on the road without having to actually be on the road. So you can practice, like, I need to hold 100 watts on a super hilly terrain. And so we put on the smart trainer, and then you can learn to adjust your cadence and your gears so that you can learn all of that stuff before you even start going outside. Then you would go someplace that's like reasonably flat and safe, like the downtown airport, which is a 3.5 mile closed loop without a lot of traffic. There's a lot of bikers there. It does have some wind, so you can start practicing that. So then you're able to start getting comfortable with that, right? And then you would go out onto the road, like with some more nuanced terrain and then some hills and that kind of stuff. And so you do, you have to do it in a progression, one, so it's safe, but also because it is a big learning curve. And I think people, when you don't have, like, you don't know how to walk through that. And I remember when I started using a power meter, and it took me a really long time to get it. Like, I just didn't get it. And I wish someone would have explained it to me. And I will also say that I have some athletes that, like, they get it the first time they go out. And I have some that it's like, we've had to work for a couple years even to get it. Like, it just didn't seem to click. But once it does, it's worth it. But you just need to take it in stages and understand what you're working with and what your numbers. And the other thing that I will say to that is that, like, this is not conducive to going out and just like riding with your friends. And it's certainly not, you know, people get into group rides and they want to be like all of a sudden. And if you just want to go ride with your friends, do that. And if you like are mostly on a training plan and then you want to go ride on the weekends and ride with your friends and do your own thing, do that. But if you're somebody who wants to, like, you know, you're training for a specific race with a specific outcome in mind, then you need to be doing this on the weekends when you go out to train. And it's not conducive to riding with your friends because it's your own power numbers, just like it would be your own pace and running. It's your intervals, like how are you, should you be in like your zone one intervals? Should you be doing some threshold intervals out there? And it, and where during the ride are you placing those so that you're getting stronger in the way that you need to? And like, it doesn't turn into some kind of race fest with your friends over, like, you know, I can't use foul language here, so I will skip my strong thoughts on that. But like, you see people, like, you know, they're riding way harder than they should be because they're out there with their friends and they want to be the macho person. Or even on
that, like, Strava thing, that's like those Strava competition things too, where it's like they're not riding with anybody else, but they are virtually. They're kind not. Of.
And it's, you know, but what's so, you know, what's really interesting to me is that when I do Ironman, Let me just say that just because somebody has a power meter and they're swinging around their numbers and they act like they know what they're doing doesn't mean that they do. And I say that because it can be an overwhelming and confusing thing to learn. And there's a lot of people who act like they get it. And I promise you that they don't. And so, you know, ask the questions and take the time to learn. And if you're frustrated, seek out some help and know that it's not you, but it is well worth your time to do it, and also to be clear on what you want to gain from it. Do you want to race with it? Do you just want to use it to get stronger, or do you not want to use it at all?
Yeah.
And so, you know, some follow-up podcasts that I hope we'll do is one kind of talking about how heart rate and power meter work together and what that looks like. And then also the difference between training and racing with a power meter, because when you do, even when you're out on a road and you're doing the training for, to prepare for like a 70.3 or an Ironman or your sprint or whatever, the way that you train with your power meter outside is different than how you ride with it inside, but it is also different in how you race with it. And so there's some nuances there to that conversation that are just some different angles on it that maybe we can come back and talk about.
Yes.
But I love it. The power meter is one of my favorite things. And so if you're frustrated, hang in there. It's worth your time.
Yeah.
And you can do it.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember, we are in this together. Until next time.